army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Good morning and welcome to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and I'm coming to you live from our studios up the road. And I've actually got a lovely show lined up, one of my favorite shows. It's the somehow says shouts to me, or this show always shouts to me, holiday time, Chanuk time, bright time. So I'll be sharing a couple of recipes for Chanukah, that festival of lights that isn't so light. And I'll be chatting later a little to Jean-Nel, who is the author of a couple of wonderful bra books. It's called Bra the Beloved Country, More Bra the Beloved Country. And he's also got another book out, Cooking with Gas, which I suppose is important to have because a lot of people prefer to cook with gas. Some more, I mean, the real purists will say only wood. But sometimes it's just inconvenient and sometimes you just want to just light up that gas bra. So before we get involved with our braaiing and end of the year recipes, let's talk a little bit about Chanukah. Okay, so what are we going to make? I mean, there are so many different latke recipes. You go out there and you look on the internet, you read old, beautiful recipe books and you get a taste for what they have to offer. But somehow, what is it? We always go back to the same old thing. Always back to our beautiful grated potatoes, strained through a muslin cloth to get rid of that excess water, add an egg or two, fry it up, and with a little bit of flour. Some prefer flour, some prefer potato flour, as I do, and find all sorts of exciting toppings to go on top of the latke. Because what's a latke without a topping? So let's talk a little bit about the toppings. So we can have chopped liver on top of a latke. Nothing wrong with chopped liver and a little bit of fried onion. We can also do lovely latkes with some smoked salmon. If you want to go with a milchik root, you can crumble a little bit of feta on top, place a little olive on top of that. I mean, I could carry on actually for the whole show, giving you all different sorts of recipes and ideas. But in the end, you're going to go back to the one that you really know the most. Of course, I've got one exciting one for you to do that I tried over the weekend, and it was quite a hit. So often we left over with those little baby pitta, not the large pitta, the baby pitta. And I cut those in half, and I put them into hot oil. So literally just like in and out. It went beautiful and crispy. And I put a little bit of avo, cheese melt, a little bit of tomato sauce to make it almost like a one-mouth pizza bite. And it really was delicious. So you can do that, and you can fry the little pittas, which you've cut in half, fry them once they've been drained in a Tupperware container and use them over the week. Of course, there's also beautiful fried phyllo. So you get phyllo, and you cut it into little squares, I would say about 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters or a little less. And you just fry them up in batches quickly, sort of in and out the oil. And then you just cover it with some syrup, some pistachio nuts, a little bit of cinnamon and sugar. Also delicious, lovely and sweet. Of course, there's bananas. What about bananas in a lovely batter? And you deep fry those bananas. The batter is actually quite easy to make. We just take about a cup of flour and 1.5 cups of water. You want it sort of quite thickish, like a thick cream almost. Dip it in and deep fry it and serve it with cinnamon sugar. You can do your fish like that as well. Nothing like a beautiful piece of crispy fried beer batter for a fish. So you would take a can of beer, and you would add the flour, sifted flour to that, mix it all together so that you get a nice runny consistency to your batter. Add a little bit of salt, pepper, dip it in, and deep fry it until it puffs out. Now remember, you need the oil to be quite hot. You can turn it down a bit because you don't want the outside to burn and then the fish to remain a little raw. That's not going to be too healthy. You can do that with chicken fillets as well. In fact, we can fry almost anything in a batter. I know that I went to a lovely restaurant to Doug Fish the other night, and he fries marrow in a beautiful batter, which is absolutely delicious and crispy. And if you want to make it gluten-free, just use potato flour. You can put a bit of tapioca flour in and corn flour, mazina, just to get a nice batter consistency. So there's a lot we can do for this lovely festival, frying festival of lights. And when I come back after the break, we are going to be chatting about braais, things to be careful of when you're braaiing. You know, always make sure that you have a fire extinguisher nearby. Terrible stories. I always give the story of my friend who her daughter's boyfriend put the fire on, but he didn't put the flame on, and she went to light it up, and poof, the next thing, Hatsola were there, but she had a nice face peel in the end. We always laugh about that. When I come back after the break, we'll be chatting braais.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie at Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Welcome back to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm doing one of my favorite shows. Yep, it's the Braai Show, and I've got a wonderful guest who's coming into the studio by the name of Jeanelle, who wrote Braai the Beloved Country, and then he wrote more Braai the Beloved Country, and he wrote Cooking with Gas. I mean, he's our chef master. In fact, he works for Weber, and he's their chef master as well. So I think we're getting the right people on our show. So tongs at the ready. Summer's here, and it's time to fire up the coals. Here are a couple of tips to make your braai brilliant. Okay. You know, summer is in full swing when you get that delicious aroma, that delicious braai sort of smell wafting through the air. And you go for a Sunday afternoon walk and people are lighting up their braais and getting ready for an early braai. Or they've had their lunch and the coals are sort of just going down. And for me, braaiing is the quintessential South African pastime. So when you think about braais, think about, we've got to think about a couple of things. As I said earlier on, think about an extinguisher. It's very, very important. A fire extinguisher. And if you want to be the braai master, like I am in my house, you really have to practice and you really have to get to know your braai, to know the heat, to know the what works well for you, your meat. And the more you braai, the better understanding you'll have of your braai. So just be organized. Have your tongs ready. Have some water ready. A nice tray, a silver tray of water ready that you can have on the side, which actually helps to absorb some of the fire. You can put it in the fire if you're using a Weber, sort of on the side. And just remember that there are some amazing tips out there. As I say, I could be here the whole day giving you tips on a braai, but I'm going to start off by giving you tips on the meat to use for braais. Okay, so if you want to, if you're a lamb chop person, then great. Don't forget, I like flare-ups on a braai. I like the flames to come up and lick the meat. But if you don't, then you need to cut off all the fat, unfortunately. And this breaks my heart because I always say, don't cut off the fat. If you want to cut off the fat, cut it off at the end. But remember that you're still going to get from the lamb, you're still going to get little fire-ups every now and then. Now, with sausages, don't ever think of par cooking a sausage before you braai. Okay, there's no need for that. It's simple. Start the braai, okay, and then put the sausage on the cooler part of the fire. I put the boerewors and that kind of thing and the sausages on at the end. Because you don't want it to actually burn on the outside and stay raw in the middle. And then use tongs to move them. Don't prick them with a fork, because then you'll have a real flare up on the fire. Okay, and just a little bit about steaks. Cooking time, you know, I always try and get the recipe for the best steak out of the chefs that come onto the show or the authors. And everybody's got a different idea, as you will hear just now from Jean. But, you know, some people like thinner steaks. Some people like thin little chops that are really crispy all the way through. Some prefer it a little rare in the middle. I like my chops well done, but that's something else. But cooking time really depends on the size of your steak. So you can never really give the ultimate cooking time to a steak. It all depends. Okay, but if your steak is about an inch and a half thick, then rare would be about 5 to 6 minutes, medium rare 7 to 8, medium 8 to 10, medium well 10 to 11. Well done, we don't do that. I'm not even telling you what well done would be, because we don't go as far as well done. But never, ever put a steak onto a cool fire. You really need to bring the steak to room temperature. This is very important. Bring the steak. All chefs will tell you, bring the steak to room temperature from your refrigerator for about 2 hours, making sure that it's covered, not in the sun, just in somewhere shady in your kitchen. And leave it at room temperature and then put it on a hot braai. Now, don't put oil on your braai. Put oil on the meat, okay? Never mind, we do have a lot of salt, okay, in the kashering process. However, wash your steak and put a little bit of salt on, put a little bit of oil on, and this just helps to keep the juices in, the steak juicier, and it, you really want to sear that steak on hot coals that really go shoo as you put it on the braai. I mean, you can also do it inside. You can do it on a steak griddle. But make sure that that pan is really hot. And then if the steak is very thick, then you can always put it into a very hot oven just to cook through that little bit more. That my favorite, of course, is a side bolo, cut in half, sinew removed, and a ribeye steak. They really make beautiful steaks. Chicken often takes the back seat at a braai, but braai, what I would do is I would definitely pre-cook my chicken. I always tend to get a bit nervous with chicken, and I pre-cook it because we don't want that little bit of red closer to the bone. It's quite off-putting. Chicken breasts, of course, off the bone, don't need to be pre-cooked. That's a quick thing to do. That is quick. I mean, you need medium to high heat for the chicken breast off the bone. On the bone, you can cook it a little bit, but it's not that important. There's parts that I do like to pre-cook are the thighs, the drumsticks, possibly the wings. And you just, chicken is actually quite a low maintenance kind of thing to do. Stick it over low to medium heat, and that's it. Then throw over some marinade afterwards. And make sure that also the marinade that you were cooking the meat in, or the marinade that you're going to put on, hasn't been next to raw meat. Okay, the raw chicken, that is very dangerous. Okay, if you're going to use that marinade, boil it up to rebaste your chicken. Ribs. Now, meaty ribs for me are the greatest. Steakhouse ribs are lovely. You can ask your butcher. If you want something really meaty, this is, if you get, ask your butcher for a top rib, which has quite a thick piece of meat on it, ask him to cut it through the middle horizontally so that you almost have like strips. And then what you, I would definitely boil that in some Coke or some ginger ale, a little bit of marinade, your favorite marinade, and cook that through for a good half an hour to an hour. And then you can braai them. And then what I did last week for Shabbos was I actually did a three-way top rib roast. And I boiled it first in the marinade and the ginger ale or Coke if you want to. And then I put it onto the braai so it got really lovely and crispy. And then I stuck it into the oven, covered. And I let it cook for another hour or two. And it literally fell off the bone. It was absolutely delicious. So there's some easy things to do. Don't forget you can put on beautiful sarsatis as well. Sarsatis are reasonably priced. They go a long way. You can make really lovely long sarsatis. You can go to Builder's Warehouse and you get a dowel stick, like about a 3 millimeter dowel stick. And it just makes such exciting cooking, because you can put that into your Weber braai and just wet the stick first, obviously, and you just curl it around the braai, and you can have all sorts of interesting things where people take a fork and they just sort of slide their pieces of meat off the sarsati. You can do that with veggies as well. And but more importantly, get to know your butcher, because as Jean-Nel says, know the source. Know where your meat comes from. Know that if a beautiful cut of meat, a Texan steak, is going to come in, know that your husband's going to keep it for somebody like Harry Ginn. Or know that if Mrs. Cohen comes in and you know that she loves single lamb chops, he'll put a couple aside for you, phone you and tell you, okay, I've got your favorite lamb chops for you. So it is very important, as Jean-Nel always says. One of the most important things that he always says is make your butcher your best friend.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
So today is one of my favorite shows, the pre-holiday summer braai bonanza. And who better to share this with than none other than John, the braai man himself. Author of, I think you did Guest Braai as well, and More Braai, The Beloved Country. So
that is correct.
So, Jean, you need absolutely no encouragement and very little excuse to have a braai. Welcome to my show. Wonderful to have you on the Cooking Corner. And I was very excited to be able to interview you because, as everybody knows out there, I love my show. I love my braaiing. That's the way I like to cook, just to braai. So great to speak to you. Welcome to the show.
Good morning from a beautiful, beautiful sea point in Cape Town.
Oh,
we're getting ready to braai. It's the start of a very busy season for us.
Yes.
Corporates, private events, and a few weddings. People love a nice, to get married now with beautiful braai, smokiness, around them.
Right. I couldn't think of anything better. Beautiful braai. In fact, for most of my son's bar mitzvahs, I just had braais. I just love
amazing.
I love braaiing. It's my favorite way.
The
cooking.
Fire is raging now.
Yes.
I think the whole barbecue, which, I hate that word.
Yes.
And I really dislike when people say grill or, barbecue. We braai, but, braaiing has taken over the world. Even when I look now researching, my fourth book, and I do promise it may be my last one. even vegetables is now raging on fire, the whole plant base. And we need to look after them as well.
Absolutely. Well, one of my favorite tips that you gave me in talking about vegetables is actually to soak your mealies in water for about half an hour, which is a great thing. Otherwise, you say you basically we're left with toasted mealies.
That so, is so important. Yes. Yeah, you need to soak it and then just leave, everything on it, and you just throw it on the grid with yes. Like a little bit of oil, and everything will be hunky-dory. And a little bit of feta or garlic butter, chopped coriander. I love mealies.
You love mealies. I do too. I'm from Durban, and that's the home of the beautiful bride mealie. So let's go back a little bit. Tell us what ignited your passion to make a career out of brying, Jean?
You are going to laugh. I can't remember when, the year was, but, I tried my hands at very fancy cooking and, running between the power yachts here, at the Royal, Yacht Club. And just out of the blue, I got a call from an ad agency to say, can I style the national flag out of braai meat?
Wow.
And I just said to the lady, I said, it is impossible. But then I started to think about it. On a piece of perspex, I just drew, the lines of the flag. And we clubbed together in Darnie Nell. He's a Cape Town food photographer with lamb chops, boerewors, pap and sauce, a little bit of a Greek salad. Yes. It is not my favorite food styling photo I have ever created, but yes. That kind of just kicked everything off.
Were you a food stylist before? What did you actually do before that?
Well, I do.
I do
all the food styling of my books. Uh-huh. I don't think that I can work with a food stylist. Yeah. I will really give them a tough time.
Okay.
And then out of the blue, one of the Cape Town biggest newspapers phoned me to say that they would like to do an article on me and the famous Vleisvlag, the meat flag.
Yes.
And I just said to the lady, I said, a journalist. I said, I don't braai at all. I do fancy food. She said, no, we need to do an article on this. And that article ended up on the marketing manager's desk, of Weber, and everything just started to happen.
Wow.
I live fancy cooking then.
Right. And you, because you are a Weber coach, correct? Or the Weber coach in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Look, nowadays, I do yearn more. I am Afrikaans, and I grew up in the Northern Cape where we didn't have fancy braais as a kid.
Yes.
I do braai a lot in open fire now and throw my cast iron pans on open fire.
Yes.
And braaiing is now what I do for a living. And I teach people. I love teaching them. I think everybody thinks that they can braai, beautifully, until you go to their homes and you eat a burnt lamb chop.
Okay,
so we need to teach them.
Yeah, but now do people invite you around often, or they're a bit nervous to have the master himself there? I'd be
no, they do actually, but I love going to people's homes. I'm not critical of them at all. They offer me on a dinner table, I so appreciate that.
Yeah.
I love it when people cook for me.
Yes.
I do.
I agree. It's a beautiful feeling. And if it's a toasted cheese, it's also okay.
Toasted cheese, baked beans on toast.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I don't care.
As long as
I tell me. It's all about the friendship. That's what it's about.
Exactly. Now, a typical braai day for you, you're catering for a lot of people. What time would your day start if you're starting to braai for so many people?
My day ended last night at 10:30.
Yes.
We started again this morning at 6 o'clock.
Wow.
I was up in the Helderberg Mountains yesterday doing doing a 4x4 team build.
Yes.
Around the beautiful Helderberg Mountains, around Somerset West. And then we ended it off with a beautiful braai. And even in that, I mean, after spending, these corporates, driving around in these beautiful cars or jeeps.
Yes.
They still want to know about the recipes.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's what I do. And this weekend, there is a wedding tomorrow, lunchtime, and then tomorrow evening, a function for 80 people.
Wow.
So Sunday, I'm off.
Oh,
Sunday.
Okay. I know you're making a brat home.
No, Sunday, no. I will eat baked beans, I promise you.
Sure. So now tell us, John, have you cooked for any famous people?
You know, out of respect for the production companies, yes, I have.
Yes.
I have cooked for that guy that was in Pretty Woman.
Oh, yes.
I've cooked for the Mafia of Benoni, Fun Benoni.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, you know, they're just normal people like all of us.
Exactly.
And they just want to have food after a long day on set, for instance.
Right. So you do a lot.
Yeah,
of...
you know what?
Yes. Sorry. Carry on.
They are great people as well. You know, they're just here to make a movie and then they leave. And we interact with them, and they also want to know more about South African food, Cook Sisters and Milk Tarts, for instance. And then we have to take it back the next day so, yeah, that they can eat that.
Uh-huh. And so you do a lot of South African cooking, obviously, for the international movie sets, for the international movie scene. Yeah.
And I do a lot of work around the Atlantic seaboard as well.
Yes.
And some of the Swedish markets, they love our food as well. And so when they come out here to do like a motor car ad, for instance, you know, you go on set for 3 to 4 days. There's so many people shooting an ad, you will not believe it. I mean,
are you doing the Toyota? Are you doing the Toyota ad this weekend?
No.
Because I was going to introduce you to my brother. Okay, never mind. Now, let's go back to some of your earliest memories of the braai. How did you actually start where did you learn? Was it in the Karoo as a young boy?
It was, you know, I mean, my fondest memories is of my mother.
Yes.
She was a very good cook. And she would throw, we had a beautiful, there was oranges around our home. In the heart of the Northern Cape, it's so hot there.
Yes.
Sultana grapes, apricots, peaches. And I remember my mother talking to me about fruits, and she would actually grow fruits or braai fruits at that time.
Yes.
She was the braai in our family, and my father would host the guests, for instance. She was incredible.
Yes.
And I wish that my mother could see today what my life turned out to be, because I also want to show her that I've done my books, and the people that I cook for and the menus. I mean, I think of her often.
Yes, I'm sure.
You know.
Beautiful memories. Well, she's a woman after my own heart, because I do all the braaiing at home. I'm not a bridesmaid. I don't go into the kitchen and make the salads. I'm the one who stands there braaiing the meat, shouting, giving instructions. Go away.
Because you know what I find when I do corporate team builds, it is the women that are more assertive to braaiing. And they are amazing braaiers. I mean, sometimes the guys really get upset when I say to them, but look over there, she is doing, look at her method, for instance, and the way that you turn the beef fillet, for instance. And guys really don't want to hear that. But I do think women are amazing around the braai.
And
they know just how to, yeah.
In fact, I do most of my brine, even my, for Friday nights or whatever, I will roast my scotch fillet first on the braai for about 10 minutes. Then, you know, stick it in the oven on very low. I'll do my shoulder of lamb, my shanks. I braai everything first. I'm just such a fire person. I don't know, maybe I was a fireman in my past life. But anyway, talking about firemen and fire extinguishers, any scary situations that you've ever had? Big fire flare-ups?
Flare-ups in a corporate where I do actually tell the people, do not look after the lamb. It is fatty, for instance, and they don't listen. And then all of a sudden, the flare-ups happen. And people I'm in a rush off to go and find water. It is just not the way to do it. That flare-up must just burn out, for instance. So we would just move the weaver away from them. Recently at a wedding, I had a wedding catering started off with a bee incident, because I did a beautiful harvest table.
Yes.
And we put fruits on, beehives. And, the honey farm was about 20 kilometers away from there. And all of a sudden, we could just see the bees arriving. And we had to take the bee off. And then all of a sudden, the open fire started to, you know, you just handle things like that.
Yes.
And you need to just stay calm and not scream.
You need a fire extinguisher, end of story.
We do, yeah.
Okay.
Always, that is what my staff pack the very first, and the tongs.
Yes.
Anything can happen. Although it was only the two incidents, you know, in my entire bright career that really I can think of.
Right.
So that fatty lamb chop, look after it.
I'm chatting to Jeanelle. I'm thrilled and excited to be chatting to the author of Braai the Beloved Country and more Braai the Beloved Country. That's two wonderful books that are out there. And if you want to know anything about braaiing, this is a book to get. So Jean's going to come back with a couple of braai tips for us. As I said, I know there are thousands, but share some tips with us, Sean.
Okay. One of the tips that I give when I do my classes, for instance, is that I say that we plan what we are going to wear for that day, that shirt or the pants. The way when you start to braai, don't run out with a piece of meat and then realize, oh, but I need something else in the kitchen, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Have that mise en place ready and be organized.
Right.
So that once you are at your fire or at your braai, everything is organized.
Maison
place. Do not, you know what, once check the fire. I mean, people say to me, but I do your recipe and, the meat was burned. Check the fire. It needs to be at the right temperature, for instance. Very important. Hold your hand over the fire. And if it burns, I'll tell you one thing. Take it away and leave that fire for, a bit longer.
Okay, we're talking about a wooden coal fire?
Yes, absolutely. And then also a Weber, you know,
yes.
Let that charcoal burn down and test it.
Right.
Don't throw a piece of meat on and it's going to burn.
Right.
And then lastly, this whole sugar-based sauces that we are so fond of.
Yes.
That you throw on and you baste the last 5 minutes and then you take the meat off. If you do like a whole beautiful... chicken,
yes.
On a Weber.
Yes.
5 minutes and then take it off. Otherwise, it will caramelize and it will burn.
Burn, uh-huh. You know, everybody talks about direct and indirect. Can you explain that to us?
Direct, okay. I did a beautiful sketch of the direct and the indirect methods in Marlborough, the beloved country.
Yes.
Direct is when you put a piece of meat or chicken breast directly on the heat source, on the coals. I mean, indirect is, and I do want to say something, about that now. You can bring your fanciest oven to me.
Yes.
And you can do a roast chicken in your oven, and I will do a beautiful whole chicken on my Weber. Yes. Indirect.
Yes.
My chicken will taste better than yours. I just believe in the indirect way of doing a chicken on a Weber.
Yes.
And that is when the coals are on the sides and
yes.
and the meat's in the middle. Please do not forget your drip tray underneath.
Yes.
And once, the vents are open, leave it.
Okay.
Don't do the peeking business once the chicken or the piece of fillet or leg of lamb is, indirect. It is the perfect way to braai. When you are lazy as well. If you are a lazy briar,
yeah.
Do things indirect.
Right. So direct, would that be a lovely piece of steak? I could directly cook that.
That would be, I cannot think of a better piece of steak than ribeye steak. And please,
yes.
Do not ask your butcher to take the bone off. Because
yes.
some
okay.
of the flavor will just disappear. A beautiful ribeye steak bone on direct is amazing.
Uh-huh.
And you can do your mushroom sauce or your pepper sauce or whatever sauce you love with your steak.
Yes.
On the side.
Now your
ribeye is my favorite, absolutely.
Yeah, mine too. Now rubs and marinades, your feelings on those. Let's go through an episode with, I get this beautiful Scotch fillet, ribeye steak on the bone, and it's about, 3 centimeters thick. How am I going to prepare that? What would you suggest?
I would make sure that the fire is, the right temperature. And please, now we are not talking any low fire.
Yes.
That beautiful piece of ribeye needs some heat.
Yes.
I don't particularly like people to turn meat over a lot. So I would put it on, I would leave it for 2.5 minutes. I would then flip it over again for another 2.5 to 3 minutes. And then you can check it. I love my meat extremely, rare, but obviously, if you like a medium steak, you need to, braai it longer.
Right.
I love a ribeye with salt and pepper, lemon juice. That's it.
That's it.
Olive oil.
Uh-huh. And sticking it in high heat in the oven just to ensure that it's cooked through? No, rather just leave it on the braai and allow it to rest. Now, I've got to ask you something. Resting. Okay, so I had quite a famous, you'll probably know him, gentleman who's now in Paris and he's doing braais. And he says, there is nothing better, he says, than to eat the meat straight off the braai. What's this nonsense of making everybody sit and wait for it to get cold? So I think your feelings are the same, that not his, but that you actually have to let the steak rest for at least 5 minutes tented.
You need to let the steak rest. You know what? When I go, over the Instagram, because I am a huge, Instagrammer.
Yes.
When I look at images of people that braai steak, I could almost see that beautiful piece of steak, there was no rest. They would just cut it. It needs to rest. It need to rest a bit.
Yes.
You can eat boerewors straight off, the fire, but a beautiful piece of steak, please don't slice it. You are going to stuff it up. Let it, please give 5 minutes minimum, and then because that blood and that flavour.
You wanted to redistribute all those wonderful juices. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, and
so don't always believe in what other people say. You know,
I must admit, there is nothing finer and nothing more tasty than a beautiful piece of boerewors straight off that bra.
Absolutely.
I mean, your mouth sort of like a, but it's just
it is so hot, but you know, it is completely fine.
Yes.
Throw that. I mean, a beautiful. Boerewors quail on the fire, and ask your butcher to make it for you. I love my butcher.
I
give him a hard time sometimes.
Yes.
But you have to get to know your butcher. Stop. I almost want to say, buy your meat at a butcher. You know, we're so supermarket orientated now. It's scary.
Yes.
Yeah. Where's that old times where you would go and actually talk to your butcher and, I mean, get to know him? It's also time now.
Yes. Well, I couldn't agree with you more. My butcher is my best friend and my husband.
Good for you.
Yeah.
No, it is so important. It is, get to know your butcher and he will get to know you and your favorite cuts, and that's the way it is.
Well,
I keep on telling it in every single book I do, and in my corporates as well. In my classes, I say, stop running to supermarkets. There's beautiful butchers around Cape Town.
Yes.
Support them.
Absolutely.
You know, it is almost something of the past that we don't see a lot of butchers around, so please support them.
Thank you for joining us. It was wonderful chatting
Thank
to you,
John. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. It was a beautiful honor for me.
Oh,
thank you so
you.
Much.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie at Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Jeanelle, the author of the bestseller Braai, The Beloved Country. And as I said, I will be sharing some of his lovely flop-proof recipes. So here we go. This is for Korean beef ribs. So these are sweet, salt, tangy, lick it off your fingers ribs. It is best to marinate these ribs overnight for the best results. This marinade goes very well with chicken as well, and I suppose you could use it on steak. No, nothing wrong with a Korean steak. So here we go. We need 8 to 10 beef ribs cut 2 to 3 centimeters thick. Okay, so these earlier on I was talking about the top rib roast and how you get your butcher to cut it in half and you get that nice piece of meat on top. Okay, these are the ribs he's talking about. What you will need, the marinade, is 125 ml of soy sauce. That's half a cup of soy sauce, 90 grams of brown sugar, 30 ml of rice vinegar, 60 ml of sesame oil, 4 cloves of garlic, finely crushed. You can have a bit more if you want, if you like us and you love your garlic. 15 ml of fresh ginger. Okay, so that's a tablespoon of fresh ginger finely crushed. 30 ml of tomato sauce, tomato ketchup, as they like to call it overseas. And 30 ml being 2 tablespoons. And 15 ml, that's 3 teaspoons or 1 tablespoon of chili flakes. Then all you have to do is combine the soy sauce, brown sugar, vinegar, sesame oil, garlic, ginger, tomato sauce, and chili flakes in a bowl, and you whisk it until the sugar dissolves. Then you place the ribs in a large Ziploc bag, and you pour the marinade over it. You seal the bag, and you refrigerate it overnight. Turn the Ziploc bag over a few times while in the refrigerator. Okay, and just massage it nicely so that it really absorbs all those lovely tastes. And then you bring the ribs to room temperature an hour before you braai. and you remove the ribs from the marinade and you pat them dry with a kitchen towel. Place the ribs directly over the fire and you braai, turning once until medium. And then this should take about 8 to 10 minutes. And then you heat the sauce in a small pan on the fire, the remaining sauce, and you just keep brushing the sauce with the, keep brushing the ribs, sorry, with the sauce for about the last 2 minutes while it's on the braai. Now, you may have to cook it a little bit longer. I found that when I made them, the 8 to 10 minutes wasn't long enough. But then, of course, you can put them in the oven. Remember, this actually needs quite long, slow cooking afterwards. So what I would suggest is that if you haven't boiled them before, which this recipe doesn't call for, then you can leave them in direct heat on your braai just so that they can cook a little bit longer to get a little softer. You know, some of us have problems with the zähne, with the teeth, so we don't want to be pulling too much on the beef. Okay, so another great recipe. And now I'm swapping over from meat to Norwegian salmon because I know that a lot of people are going to be going to Plet or Cape Town and you get such delicious fresh fish there, and there is nothing like a lovely fish braai prepared well. So this is an easy way, as Jeanelle says, to braai a whole side of Norwegian salmon. Ask your fishmonger to remove all the bones from the salmon. Okay, and this would obviously have to be butterflied. So you will need for the ingredients 45 mils of Thai red curry paste, which is available at most places. I know that next door make a lovely Thai curry paste, so I think that you should go, before you go on holiday, go and get a couple of bottles of those. It will be well worth your while. 125 mils of coconut cream, 30 mils of olive oil. Now, I know that our coconut cream we get is about 165 mils, so keep a little bit aside and you can actually baste a little bit more on while you're cooking it. A side of Norwegian salmon, approximately 250 to 300 grams. Now, why I said butterflies, because I don't think a side is going to feed too many people. And when we entertain on holiday, there's normally quite a few people. So that's why I say you can actually add a little bit more coconut cream. Olive oil, they say 30 mils, you can add a little bit more because remember we're doubling up now because we are butterflying the fish. About 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, salt and freshly ground black pepper. Don't be nervous, you use quite a bit of salt. Fish love salt. Yes, because they live in salty seas. And you'll need 2 spring onions, chopped. A handful of coriander leaves, chopped. If you don't like coriander leaves, like 10% of the population don't, then just use parsley leaves. There's nothing wrong with that. Grated lemon rind or 2 lemons. Grated lemon rind of 2 lemons or 2 limes. Okay, so what you need to do is mix the red curry paste with the coconut cream and you set that aside. Then you drizzle a little olive oil on a piece of tin foil big enough to cover the salmon. Then you put some salmon on foil and smear the curry paste mixture on top. Sprinkle it with the sugar and season it well with salt and lovely ground black pepper. And then you wrap the salmon in the foil securely. You braai the salmon until using indirect heat. We want to braai the salmon with indirect heat for about 10 to 15 minutes. Remove from the braai and cool slightly before you open the foiled parcel. Then you garnish it with some spring onions, some coriander leaves, and you serve it with some lemon and lime wedges. Okay, so you've removed the rind off the lemon and limes, and then you slice up the lemon and rind, and you serve it with the salmon. So it's as easy as that. I mean, these are things that you can get at any supermarket and you can enjoy on the braai. So there was one other recipe that I really wanted to share with you, and this comes from Cooking with Gas, and it's called can-can chicken. Okay, now this is actually quite a fun chicken to make, especially on holiday, especially if you don't have a braai. You can actually just get some wood together and coals, and you can do it like Jan Braai does it, where he just goes onto the beach, gathers some wood, and prepares his beautiful braai. And all you'll need is one whole chicken and a 370 milliliter can of beer. Now, I have heard of it being made with lemon twist as well, if you don't feel like beer. The ultimate dry rub, of course, on this is 30 mils. So that's 2 tablespoons of black peppercorns, 30 mils of yellow mustard seeds, 5 mils of cumin seeds, 45 mils, that's 3 tablespoons of paprika, 15 mils, 1 tablespoon brown sugar, 30 mils of sea salt, and 15 mils of garlic powder. So you just crush, I would use crushed peppercorns, it just makes it easier when you're away on holiday. Mustard seeds, cumin seeds, and you put that, serve that over low heat for a little while in a pan for about 2 minutes, and then you let it cool down. That's always nice to have just a little cheap frying pan. You can take that with you on holiday, and you can just put that over the braai. I mean, it's just easier, and it's also easier to make sauces and lemon and herb and butter or margarine sauces, or lemon and olive oil sauces. But it's just nice to have a little frying pan that you can have on the side. And you place this all into the frying pan. You just fry it up until you smell all those lovely fragrances from the peppercorn and mustard seeds and the cumin seeds and the paprika, and the sugar melts in, and the sea salt and the garlic powder. And then you rub it in, but you don't use all of the rub. You need to store that as well. And then you rub in about, 2 tablespoons of the mix, and keep the rest for your next chicken braai. And you heat your gas braai or your regular braai to high heat. And remember to put a drip tray directly underneath the chicken, okay, because all those lovely juices are going to drip onto the tray. But you need to put about a centimeter of water underneath the drip tray, because we are now cooking not directly on the gas, sort of in the middle. And you rub the chicken with a rub, and remember to rub the insides of the chicken as well. Very important. Then you open the can of beer, and you either pour, no, you don't pour out, not that I drink beer, but you drink about a third of its contents, and then you lower the chicken onto the open beer can. And as the chicken cooks, the beer will steam up and will bubble up and will create this wonderful flavor and moisture in the middle of the chicken. And the results should be that you get a wonderful crisp chicken on the outside and a succulent tasting beautiful chicken on the inside. And then you braai that covered for about 50 minutes to an hour. And then you leave it to let it rest for about 5 or 10 minutes. If it's not crispy or brown enough, leave it in a little longer. Remember, it's going to be succulent in the middle from that beautiful can of beer or lemon twist. Okay, so now I'm being given instructions that I need to wrap up. So as I wrap up, I've got some exciting news to tell you, that Jean Nell has decided that he is going to give us a couple of Braai the Beloved Country, Cooking with Gas, and more about Braai the Beloved Country. So there are a couple of books. The first person to phone in and answer, give me the answer, who did we interview today? Who is that Weber master chef and author and seems to know everything that we would want to know about braais? What is the name of that man? Let us know. And don't forget to take precautions with you when you're braaiing. I would hate anything to go wrong. Always have your fire extinguisher nearby. You can get small ones, big ones, whichever you want to use. And don't forget, some of the greatest fire lighters in the world are pine cones. So when next you're in the Cheltenham Park, pick up some pine cones. You can pour a little bit of paraffin over them for them to absorb some paraffin and You can use those as your bra, as your fire lighter. You can also use tea bags and put a little bit of fire liquid onto that. Oh, I've got so many tips. Maybe I'll have to share some more in 2 weeks' time. So we have some exciting news. We have some books to give away. So the first two callers in, three callers will get a couple of books. SMS us on 34519 at Chai FM. And the answer, the question is, and you need to give us the answer, who was the man that I interviewed with regards to bras? Don't forget, 34519. Looking forward to hearing from you. So remember, it's Eat and Meet that makes the show complete. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you to Vuzzy for always helping me. And I don't know what I would do without him. And thank you for joining me. And for those going away on holiday soon, have the most amazing brying time.